A phonograph, apparently you could record voices on it as well as play back. And this dog hears his master's voice and he's puzzled, but he responds. In today's reading, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." And I want to point out for a moment that that eternal life doesn't just mean perpetual life, it's a quality of life. And it starts now. My sheep listen to my voice. The Palestinian shepherd called his sheep. He didn't drive them, he led them, he led from the front, and he used his voice. And they knew it was him because they knew his voice. There might be a number of other shepherds in the vicinity calling their sheep, but the sheep would know which shepherd to follow because of the voice. Today is Vocations Sunday, and vocation is a Latin word for calling. I prefer the word calling. The word calling reverberates through the New Testament. Jesus calls his sheep. He calls his disciples. It's for us to follow his call, to recognize his voice. The word for calling, which is most often used in the New Testament, is from the Greek word kaleo, I call. And it combines four meanings. They called his name Jesus, beginning of Matthew. That is the word kaleo. I call up the stairs to tell my family to come and have supper. If I was Greek, that would be kaleo. I'm summoned to court. That word summon would be from kaleo. And I'm invited to the banquet. There are lots of stories in the New Testament about invitations to a banquet. That's using words from kaleo. So when Jesus calls the first disciples and says, "Simon, follow me. James, follow me." He's calling them by name. In fact, in Simon's case, he gave him another name, Peter. He's also both inviting them and summoning them. And these days he says, "Jane, follow me. Jim, follow me." He invites each of us individually by name to a new resurrection life, eternal life, which is going to be life-giving, but which also bears the mark of the cross. And there's something compelling about his call, and yet we have the power to say no. It's an invitation to something good, and we can choose. There isn't usually an audible call, of course, but the idea of a voice calling is a powerful metaphor which gets across something of what calling is like. And our primary calling is to be Christians, to hear his voice and follow him, to be loved, to be forgiven, to be part of his community, his body, the church, to learn to know him, to learn to love as he loves us. But within that primary calling, there are sometimes secondary callings, callings to make particular decisions, callings to play a particular role in the purposes of God. And it may not be a role which people see as big or important. I think one of the things that has improved this church most in recent years is that we now again have coffee and tea after the service. And that was because at a certain point, a number of people came forward and offered to make it. Everyone has different gifts and different circumstances, and gifts and circumstances change. So sometimes a calling is for a season, it might be a short season or a long season, and sometimes a calling is permanent, like marriage or ordination. But even a permanent calling evolves and changes. God keeps calling us on. So how do we distinguish the voice of God? Above all, through prayer. If you aren't in the habit of praying, take some baby steps. It's good to pray in daily life, in the middle of things you're doing. And it's also good to set aside some time each day just for praying. Maybe start with a very short time, but keep to it. Foster a habit. Try it. Pray in your way, not in somebody else's way. Give God some space and time. Speak to God and listen to God. When I say speak to him, it might be in words, or it might be being just sitting, being aware of his presence, giving him space. And I'm sorry, that's the listening. It might be in words. When I say speak, it might be in words, or it might be just in his presence, thinking and feeling. And when I say listen, I mean primarily being aware of his presence, giving him space, and being ready to be changed. I have some wonderful books on prayer. I'm sure the other ministers here do too, and lots of other people will. I'm sure Polly has loads. Do borrow them. I'm offering other people's books now. Or get recommendations from them. If you'd find it helpful to read one, or talk to one of us. But don't let anybody tell you how to pray. People can give you ideas, but it's your relationship with God. It's different from anybody else's relationship. Pray as you can, not as you can't. And notice that Jesus is talking about knowing him by his voice. Knowing our Master's voice. It's not primarily about understanding what he's saying, not primarily. It's knowing who he is, recognizing him, turning towards him, letting God be God, and that will change us. But sometimes he does seem to call us to do particular things. And when that happens, we need to try and hear what he's saying. Now, I've said that God doesn't often literally speak to us, but very occasionally he does. I hesitate to talk about hearing voices because I know that some people suffer from schizophrenia and have to suffer hearing voices, and that is not what I'm talking about. But a few weeks ago, Michael told us about a time, nearly 30 years ago, I think, when God spoke to him in words. Michael was sitting in this church listening to a sermon, and suddenly, out of the blue, he was aware of words in his head, clearly communicating to him, "Michael, I want you to finish teaching at the end of the year." He was 59 at the time. He was very happy in his job. He was a very good headmaster. He didn't say that, but I've heard it from lots of people. And he hadn't thought about retiring yet. There seemed no good reason for giving up. He tested it by talking to the vicar and talking to Barbara, and he prayed about it. And he eventually decided it was God, not a quirk of his own imagination. So he retired at the end of the year, in faith, still with no idea why God was saying this. And with hindsight, he can see three very good reasons why God wanted him to retire. And he told us about one of them a few weeks ago. You might like to ask him and Barbara about the other two. But Michael has also said to me that this is the only time that God has spoken to him in that way. Michael and Barbara told me that usually when they say God told us to do something, they mean somebody asked them to do something and they prayed and they thought about it and they decided it was the right thing to do. But that one time was an exception. Sometimes God speaks in dramatic ways, but very often he speaks in ordinary ways. God always does his own thing, and we are all different as well. So it's risky for a preacher to try and categorize how God works or how we should discern his voice. But I'm going to try and identify a few features which are often there. And firstly, there is often a trigger. For Michael, it was those words he received while listening to a sermon. For me, in 1997, it was when a retired priest called Norman said, "Catherine, I think you should be ordained." And I said, "Don't be ridiculous." But the next day, when I prayed, I became aware that I was in touch with God in a way I hadn't been in touch with him for years, in a way that was both old and new. And I knew I had to explore it. It felt crazy. Women had only been ordained for a couple of years. I realise now, looking back, I had no role models. At the time, I didn't see it quite in those terms. I just thought, I'm the wrong sort of person. It isn't me. And also, my children were 6, 9 and 12. And my husband had been ordained for 9 years. And I'd released him from a lot of childcare for the sake of his ministry. I couldn't see how I could both be a mother and a priest. I'd never known anyone who was. But I had to explore it. There was something here I needed to test. And so, like Michael, I tested it in two main ways, by talking to other people and by praying. And in my case, I talked to a lot of people, several clergy, a lot of old friends, and of course, at length, my husband, Peter. And I read the Bible, and I thought, and I worked things out, and I prayed and prayed. And I think often in that this whole process, there's a particular kind of confusion a feeling that this doesn't make sense, and yet it seems to be what God is saying. And at the time, I described it like this. It was as if God was throwing something to me and saying, catch. And I was saying, what about Peter? What about the children? And God said, catch. Our first calling is to be a Christian, to know and love God. I wonder if today to each of us, God is throwing his love and his call and saying, catch.